Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
To Internet Boyfriends.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
And you're listening to Internet Boyfriends.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus!
Like, just fucking...
Yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
I'm a big fan of pickles.
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends. Okay, all right. No, it's been one of those weeks, I guess. I don't know. It's not just one of those days. I don't know. It's been weird. I kind of finished doing work ish. I got more work to do, but you know, whatever. And then went to go downstairs, run the treadmill, and that sort of shit and everything. So I don't know. I just. It's been a really fucking weird week. What's up with you?
New dog. Aside from that, nothing terribly new or exciting.
Yeah, well, what's with the dog?
What do you mean?
I don't know. How? Like, is it fantastic? Or
the dog's awesome. The dog's very good. She's sapped my productivity all week because she just lied next to me. I want to pet her all day. And if you're petting the dog all day, it's hard to type and code, so...
Yeah, well, I understand that. I can get that.
Definitely worth the drive to Ohio for.
Yeah, how was that? How long was that?
I'd say 10 hours there. Actually, probably about 12 hours after stops and stuff there, and 13 or so back.
Jesus, you guys stay overnight there?
Or? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you and
we stayed at the person's house. Not who, like, there was the person who was supposed to drive. Originally, originally we were supposed to get this dog in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, you were saying.
And so the owner of this dog was going to bring it to this woman who's slightly closer in Ohio, and she was going to drive to Worcester. Instead, he just drove her from Toledo to Oberlin, which is just outside of Cleveland, and we drove to Oberlin and stayed at the gorgeous old Victorian house. Lots of little rooms, looks like secret passageways and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to Cleveland at all? Or?
No, we literally drove through it.
Okay. I don't know. Cleveland seems like ever since reading The Escapists and that episode of 30 Rock, I just have like this very odd idea of what Cleveland is compared to probably what it actually is.
Yeah, I'd love to read some Harvey Pekar stuff to see what he thinks of Cleveland.
Home, basically.
Yeah, I know, but from that point of view, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, so we drove there. Thank God for cruise control. I should say I drove there because Michelle was having severe tooth pain. So she had an infection in her tooth, so it's better now. Jeez. But she still has to get a root canal or a pull or something. But, So I had to drive out to... I drove out there. She was in the passenger seat keeping me company, but cruise control and Cherry Coke kept me alive and going. And cruise control and Cherry Coke kept me alive on the way back. And yeah, and all is good now. She just turned... Today is her second birthday.
Oh! Yeah.
Today Ellie Mae turns two.
Ellie Mae?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Hi, hello, you're welcome. Welcome to Internet Boyfriends. You're listening to Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey, and with me is the hearty to my Laurel. I didn't mean to imply anything.
I am fatter than you.
I didn't imply that,
but
though,
it's true.
Because all right, well, I meant to imply it as, I always remember Laurel and Hardy. I haven't seen a Laurel and Hardy movie since I was a kid with my grandfather. He loves them, and I kick myself to this day that I don't go back and rewatch those movies, especially the fucking one when they're in a desert.
I haven't seen any, so.
Okay, well, they're good, and hopefully someday I'll go back and rewatch them, hopefully someday soon, and possibly even with my grandfather, as he's still around, which is amazing, because he's 80-something years old, and, you know, so on and so forth. Anyways, the reason I said that was because I imagine that, you know, I'm the one that you'd be yelling at, because I don't think I've ever had a reason to yell at you ever for any for any reason whatsoever, and I just... was yelling, and Laurel's the one that looks all nervous.
Fair enough.
And then gets yelled at. So
yeah, I could see that.
So So, and yes, the hearty semi laurel Ryan.
Hi.
I don't know. I know that we were gonna do. We've got, I guess, the next couple episodes we have kind of planned out. Sort of not. Usually we have a pretty good thing. It's funny too because I think it was Mad Marvel Girl was asking about. Was it Mad Marvel Girl was asking about podcasting advice or something along those lines?
Yep.
And I felt like I was overstepping my bounds, and I wanted to talk to you about like how do I respond to people on Twitter. Again, solidifying that I'm the nervous one in the group. It's like, I don't know what to do. But yeah, she was saying, like, how do you not ramble on shows and how do you do what you do or whatever? And I said, you make notes and, you know, you always have something. And this is the first podcast and a couple podcasts where I don't have any notes. I don't have anything in front of me. I'm just going, which is probably why I'm rambling. But maybe this – I actually kind of did have something to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And – I didn't. I don't know. I don't know if this will turn into a show. I don't know if we'll use this or not. But we usually use everything because for some reason. And that's another thing too that I noticed. I've been getting way more feedback about the show. It's what, even today I said to you, like I don't understand a lot of the feedback because to me this is as simple as talking to you and then putting it up on the internet, which is why we tend to use a lot of what we use. Like unless the audio quality is really fucking bad. You know, we tend to use everything that we get, and we do because I don't know. I figure somebody might enjoy it. Someone might enjoy us rambling on. It just sort of works. I personally think we have a good chemistry. That's why I enjoy talking to you. That's why I enjoy having you as a friend.
That. No, like I said on Twitter, as long as I get a laugh and you get a laugh, I think we've been successful. So. Ultimately, fuck everyone else. I don't really care. I don't care if they get a laugh or not. It's really, as long as I do and you do, I'm good.
You're not supposed to say fuck the audience, though.
Audience. If they don't get it, fuck them. Everyone I know who listens to this will understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know. It's funny because one of my coworkers was saying, with Josh was saying, like, well, what are the numbers? Like, how do you guys do, like, who listens to the show and so on and so forth? And I don't know. I really have no idea. Like, pretty much the only way I know if someone's listening to this is if you send me a message and say, hey, I like the show, or hey, something about this, or whatever along those lines. I don't know. I don't search it out. I know we have the stats because you, I think, this week were telling me about it.
Yeah, I randomly decided to look and see where some people were from.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad somebody's listening, I guess, but I'm sorry, I don't do it for you. and maybe that's a good segue to what I want to talk about this week, which was I don't know how to be old.
Oh God.
No, it's a very valid topic. I don't know how to be an adult, and I think this is something that we need. I figured this would be the perfect intervention. I could spring it on you, and then you'd have to talk. You'd be forced for at least a half an hour to talk to me and prepare me to be a better adult.
You think I know how it is to be an adult?
You are a way better adult than I am, sir. You have things.
Like, I do have things. I have things, and I have a job, but. Like I gather a lot of people I know, we're just sort of making it up as we go along. Like, I should rent an apartment, so I rented an apartment. I should own a couch in said apartment, so I got a couch, so I don't sit on the floor, and so on. It's just sort of one day at a time, and as I've crossed the 30 threshold, last year, I'm trying to get bothered by it less, my younger friends or people that, like Jess Jupiter, who was born in 1990 or in the 90s.
Jesus.
She was born post. No, that, okay. I don't know if she was. She was definitely born in the 90s, but she was born. She was born post Jim Henson dying.
They made people after Jim Henson
died? Yeah. Like, I vividly remember hearing him dying. Like, I was in the car. We were driving past the elementary school. Like, it was like, for me, it was as vivid as 9/11, or as I assume our parents or grandparents or whatever, when JFK died and stuff like that. Like, I remember Jim Henson dying as vividly as Princess Di and 9/11. That's the impact it had on my life.
I don't think I remember Jim Henson dying, but that's more of a problem with my memory.
You were five,
probably. With...
Like,
yeah.
I was pretty young. Like, I wasn't.
I'm sure it was something I was cognizant of, but
like, you're younger enough to me that you would also be like, I was fairly. I was what, 10 or 11? Let's see, Jim Henson. Do you know when he died offhand? You're the
Muppetologist. No, I honestly don't. Yeah, I think
I was
think
nine.
Was
I was nine. He died in 90.
Oh, he died in 90. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So I was nine years old, and I remember it vividly. You were.
I'd be six. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I would be cognizant of it, and I'm fairly sure that I understood. I think at six, I had some sort of family member that had passed away, because I know that. Yeah, I think I did, because I know I have very few childhood memories, but I know that my mother's uncle passed away, and she came in and she was talking about it, because he used to draw me pictures and things, and I wouldn't say close with the man, but I obviously knew him, and he passed away, and she came in and talked to me and said, you know, he died, and it's not like he's going away, it's that he's dead, he's, you know, no more, you know, does not exist anymore. And I know that I would be cognizant of it, but I don't remember it. And Princess Di was 92. I don't know. No, maybe
later than that. No, later than that for sure. Way later than that.
I don't know. My fucking my memory is all shot. Like that's. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck to say about any of that.
Yeah,
97.
That's about right. 97.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was way off. Yeah. Even like I was saying, it's been getting more feedback from people. I'm like, oh, hey, you should talk about, like, one of the things that I heard was from somebody was tell more stories. Like, you should tell more stories and things. That's great, but my memory is fucking shit. So, like, pretty much the main reason why I'm able to tell any sort of stories is because I've either A, told them so many times that it's just like a second nature of like, oh, yeah. Pop, that's what it is, or, you know, I fucking look it up and I have corroborating evidence, you know, something along those lines. No, seriously, I have awful memory. I don't know why, but whatever. So what the hell are we
talking about? Getting old and being old and dealing with being old. It's,
see, there you go. There's the memory right there.
It's really,
oh, fuck's going, it's gone.
It's really a fake until you make it kind of thing. Like, it's, you just keep pretending that, oh, I'm a grown-up, I should do grown-up things and not sit around. And, like, once you have an apartment and stuff to deal with, rent has to be paid, bills have to be paid, and so I have to do stuff to make sure that they get paid. Otherwise, I have to go live with my parents again. And I don't want to do that at 30. If it can be avoided. So I was just sort of like, okay, I got to get up and pretend to work today, or actually work today, one of the two. And so, like, it's really just, okay, we need a new couch, so we bought a new couch. We need a new table, we bought a new table. We got new TVs, we got a PS3. Like, I'm just accumulating shit. But it's really just keep pretending that you're a grown-up until it... I just don't feel like I'm a grown-up. Every time I see, like, I'm fucking 30. I still feel like... In some ways, I feel like I'm 15. I feel like I'm 18. Like, I don't feel like... When I see people that are younger than me and successful, I'm like, I get pissed off. Because I feel like in my head...
Why?
Inside, I feel, like, young. But, like, mentally, I feel young. Like, I'm a fairly young at heart kind of guy. But I feel like I haven't done much with my life. So I feel resentment and... not more resentment than anger, but mostly resentment and jealousy from people that are, like, when I see a 25-year-old that's... created some crazy internet thing, or especially when it's something like I theoretically could have done if I got off my ass and was entrepreneurial or driven in any way, and I'm not really either.
No, I understand that.
I get jealous and I'm like, oh, and yeah.
Okay, maybe that's. Oh, I'm trying to break down why I asked that question, because that's what I was saying. I was before. I'm kind of running and. I don't know if it was before I ran that I mentioned this to you, or if it was after, immediately after. I don't know. Did I even bring this? I don't remember. This is what I'm saying. I don't have shitty memory. I have no idea how, but I am trying to break it down of how I got to this thought process, and I'm trying to work back to it. And I know that it's with that conversation we were having about the Godcast of through talking with you, I came up with the idea to get together us and a bunch of other people, podcasts, friends of mine, friends of yours, whoever, anybody with anything, where we can just kind of have a couple of people every other week talking about something, where we can bring together podcasts. Mainly, I like the idea because even today you were saying, like, hey, did you listen to, what was it, Earth 2? That's Bob Gard. Yeah. So
Bob Gard, John, and Wheels. Or I don't, I've listened to it enough to know everyone, but definitely Bob Gar and John.
Yeah. I listen to it. I just, it's one of those things of where I don't, I listen to everything now. It's now that I'm starting to exercise more, I'm starting to just throw podcasts on my fucking iPod, and I listen to them and Kevin Smith's podcasts and a bunch of other fucking things. And I just got the idea that maybe we should be doing something together with all these people. Because every time I listen to somebody's show and they make reference to us, which is happening more and more for some reason, I don't know. I'm glad. Hey, fucking right on. Thanks for everybody that mentions us and gives us any sort of feedback or anything, you know. But again, you know, we're trying to do this for ourselves. But anyways, the idea is...
No, dude, I love feedback. I would love everyone who listens to the show to say, I love it, I hate it, whatever, and let me know what they feel about it. But I... Yeah, ultimately we're doing it for ourselves, but I'd love the feedback. I love, like, when I saw Earth 2, I was like, oh, talking about a bunch of podcasts. I was like, oh, he's probably talking about us. So I listened to it. I was going to listen to it anyway, to be fair. But I was like, oh, yeah, they did, sweet. And I was like, I had to comment about it, and so I did. And but no, it's fun to know, it's fun to get understand that people are either liking it or at least listening to it, and it's giving yes. some sort of reaction to them.
Well, that I think that feeds into back we previously said that if someone mentions you in a podcast, you'll listen to it. That's the fastest way to get a new yep. listener out of Ryan Kloss is mention him on your podcast. But I will do something with these people. That was my idea, and I threw it out to you, and then I immediately got the idea to just, like, I got that fucking stuck in my head, and I said, throw it out to fucking Twitter. Maybe not everybody seemed to like it, but I got a lot of responses back from people saying, like, hey, let's fucking do it. Colin immediately was like, hey, I fucking really want to do this. You know, please don't, you know, leave me out here. I was like, I wouldn't think of it. I love Colin, and I want to have him on our show. And later we'll be doing a Q&A, and later I'll be saying that we should fucking totally have Colin doing the third Q&A, because they couldn't get it tonight, because... we didn't fucking plan anything. But for the most part, the idea, I keep having these ideas that I need to develop more of that entrepreneurial spirit. I need to develop more of that. Like, I need to get the fuck out there, you know, because maybe that's what it is. As I get older as well, I'm starting to get that in me where I'm saying, why the fuck does somebody else have this and I don't? You know why? And I'm not saying it from – and that's another thing too. I don't understand a whole lot about being an adult because I don't value possessions at all. I really don't have – you know, like for Christmas, my parents went out and they got me a new TV, like beautiful flat screen TV. This thing is fucking awesome and it's great and I love it. And I'm a big video game – obviously I fucking write about video games. I love – the TV, and I love watching movies on it. I love, you know, playing video games. It's kind of reinvigorated my spirit to sit around on my ass and watch TV. But for the most part, it's a TV. You know, if it suddenly, like, if tomorrow I woke up and the TV disappeared, and everyone said, I said, hey, what happened to the TV? Like, oh, it had to go. Couldn't fucking, I don't know, haunted. The TV was haunted. We had to get rid of it. Whatever the reason being, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. To me, it's a tool. The computer's a tool. TV's a tool. The fucking Xbox is a tool. All these things are just parts of my life, but they're not things. Like, they're not like, it's not like, oh my God, I have to have this thing or I have to do this thing. I'm not all about that kind of stuff. I just kind of just go about my life. And the more and more I think about it, maybe it's an issue that I need to kind of work on. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm kind of happy with my life, sort of. And I know that not to – because I don't want to make too much reference to it, but obviously it is kind of another reason why I'm bringing all this stuff up is, you know, I'm out of a relationship with Rachel. You know, I was in a 3-year relationship with Rachel. Now I'm not, and I'm out on my own. I'm single. I don't know what the fuck to do with my life. And I'm trying to put everything together to go about these things. And the more and more I think about it, the more and more I see that I was the wrong person for Rachel at that time because she was looking for adventure. She's younger than I am. She's looking for to go out and do things with her life, to make something of herself, to have this grand adventure. To me, my life is my adventure. You know, my life with her was my adventure. And the more and more I look back, the more and more I smile, and I'm happy that I had that time with her because it was a hell of a fucking adventure being in a long-term relationship with somebody. And that was really something to me. Okay with that. You know, the same thing, like, going to New York Comic Con with you guys. Like, that's an adventure to me. Like, that's something that I do that, like, I get fucking pumped about these things. I get excited. I get nervous about them because that's my life. It's an adventure. It's all an adventure. I get up every morning and I kind of feel like the best parts of me say, hey, this is a fucking adventure. You know, I know I also have the other parts of me, you know, that we've talked about this. I have problems with depression and anxiety and everything else. And those kinds of part, that part of me says, you know, this, why are you doing all this shit? This doesn't fucking make any, none of this means anything. This is all just bullshit, you know, but I try to ignore that more and more. And I'm trying to be a better person, trying to be a more dynamic person. I'm trying to get out there and do more stuff. Even if it literally, even if I'm not literally getting out there, if I'm just sitting on my ass in the house, I still want to be getting myself out there in some form and dealing with new people or whatever. And that's why I was saying this week has been so weird, because it's something that I don't know. Maybe it's something's kind of different in me now after Rachel and after everything that's happened. And maybe something's starting to kind of wake up as I'm getting older and I'm kind of, you know, because I thought about it. I was like, you know, when I was fucking 19 years old, I had a website that I absolutely fucking loved. And like, I would go out of my mind if I didn't fucking post on that website like once a day. I would go fucking ape shit nuts if there was, if I wasn't doing something like that. I don't know what it was. I remember even I have pictures. I was going through pictures, as you tend to do as you get older. I was going through pictures of when I was younger. And I'm not saying younger like 7. I'm saying younger like 21, 22, somewhere around there. And I was out with Michelle and Eileen and Matt and Justin and a couple other people. And we went to go golfing. Not golfing, like golfing at a golf course, but like driving range golfing. And I brought my laptop with me, and while everyone else was like fucking, they were using clubs and everything. I think it was Matt had clubs, I had clubs, and we were just fucking at the driving range and fucking around and such. And I would hit a ball or two or something, I think. I don't really remember too well, but I do remember very strongly that I was sitting there writing, and I was just tacking away at my laptop, paying attention to that instead of paying attention to my friends. And that really meant a lot to me. That was a big deal. Was like I got with my friends, and I could sit there, I could write, and I could feel like I was writing and being social at the same time. It's a big thing to me. And I look back on it, I was like, I was fucking out of my mind. I was nuts. Like, I'm sure my friends looked at that and they were like, what the fuck is wrong with him? Why the hell is he doing that? He's fucking out of his mind. But now I look at what I'm doing today, and I, you know, I like writing and everything, but I don't know. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do. Maybe it's the rest of my life. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But back then, I knew. I fucking knew. I knew I wanted to be a writer back then. I didn't know how to be a writer. I had no fucking idea, and I thought I was a pretty terrible writer back then. You know, whereas now maybe I'm not. Maybe I kind of have the idea that I'm a better writer now than I was then. And
you are.
And I know.
Speaking as one of the people that has that Impulse 101 shirt.
Yeah. I don't know where mine is. I have no idea. But yeah, it's funny because another, speaking of Impulse, I'm sorry if I'm rambling, but I was looking today at one of the things that I'd written, and I wrote an article on web today about fucking like VIP codes and online passes for video games, and it was like 968 words. And I looked at it, I was like, this is long. 968 words is long. I should really chop this down and re-edit it. I did like 3 or 4 edits on it, and I just was tired of it, and I just wanted to fucking put it up and get it done with. And my editor said the same thing, just fucking get it up there. You know, somebody else will shit all over it, so you don't have to. I looked at that and I thought of, and the posts I was making, like a day, every fucking day, I was posting on Impulse and I was writing stuff that was well over 1,000 words of just fucking, I took a dump today, and hey, wouldn't it be awesome if fucking cats had wings or whatever the fuck I was talking about back then. I have no fucking idea. I don't know where those posts are. I don't want to go look them up because I don't want to see how bad it was and how self-indulgent it was. But the fact that I look at something now and I say, this is 968 words, this could be tighter, this could be better, this could be, you know, I could cut out things here, I could get rid of this adjective, I could, you know, I could do this better, you know, and I look at it and I just break it down and I fucking have to get to it. I don't know. I mean, I still have a passion in me to do these things, but I don't know. I'm confused as shit. When back then, it's kind of weird. You know, now I think I have more of the talent to do it, and I don't know what to do with myself. And then back then, I didn't have the talent, or at least I didn't think I had the talent, and I fucking knew. I just knew what I had to do. Like, it had to be done all the time. It's so fucking weird. Anything? I don't know. I just feel like I'm going on here, rambling.
You're going on a bit, but I don't have that that touchstone to you. Like, I mean, I was talking to someone today that I've known from, not the forum we met each other on, but on a different Penny Arcade offshoot, and he just found out I have a podcast, so he's going to start listening. I realized two things. One, he tweeted that I've known you for 10 years, and I only just found out you have a podcast, and I'm like, holy shit, it's been 10 years. And two, I don't actually know his first name. he's nobody important on the forum, and he's at Undefined Monkey on Twitter, but shouldn't have said at, but he's Undefined Monkey on Twitter, and so he's going to start listening. But anyway, it blows my mind that I've been online for way more than 10 years, but that I've had relationships with people for 10 years that I've never met and don't even know their full names. They're in a way as real to me now as they are with people I went to college with that I don't keep in touch with at all. There's people went to high school, elementary school that I don't see at all. Sure, I've known them for 20, 30 years, and aside from Chris and Danny, I don't keep in touch with most people from pre-college at all. I still see them once in a while, but for the most part, it's cut down to those couple and then new people that I know. And it's weird that there's a whole chunk of my life that it's a block that most of my friends from that era are online people. And it's not pathetic in any way, but
No, it makes sense.
It's a little weird considering when I was born, there was none of this. Like I remember when I first got the internet and I was BBSing and stuff when I was 10 or 12 or something on my 1200 baud modem or something. And it's sort of crazy how far things have come since then.
Yeah, yeah. But it's integrated in our lives, you know. I wonder, I guess maybe I attribute some of it to I don't know how to say what I want to say. When I think of all this internet friendship stuff, that was another thing too that came up this week. I was talking to somebody about making friends on the internet, and she was saying that she's made a lot of friends on the internet, and it's a normal thing to her. It is to me, I guess. You know, it's weird because the more and more I think about it, I made, obviously you're a friend from the internet. Panda's a friend from the internet. Mandy's a friend from the internet. And I can go on and on and on because I made friends out of you guys, and then I made friends out of your friends, and then so on and so forth. And it's very rare that I get to see a lot of you guys from that group because you're all in different places. And, you know, Mandy's in Chicago, you're up in Montreal, Panda's moving to Austin, Texas, of all places.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Someone to visit in Austin. Excellent.
Yeah, I can't. I kick myself because that was one of the things I had. I was like, you know what? This is going to be great. I'm planning on going to Chicago for C2E2. So I was like, I'm going to go see fucking Mandy and Panda. And this is going to be so fucking great. I finally get to see these people again. And I haven't been able to see him for so long. And he's moving to fucking Austin, Texas. But that's okay. I'll take Austin. I mean, hopefully I can fucking go visit him in Austin. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so fucking weird to me because my life has changed so much from being a kid that I don't know what the, like, it's not even an issue of anymore of like, hey, fucking calling up Maddie and saying, hey, do you want to watch fucking, you know, Die Hard 2 tonight? I got it on DVD. We could fucking watch it here in my parents' house or wherever, you know. Fuck, you know, that's what a day was. You know, you go to work or whatever. Like, I was going to school, I worked at ShopRite, and then I would watch a movie and then fucking fall asleep. That was my fucking day. And now my day is getting up in the morning, trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to write, figuring out how I got to promote things on fucking Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of this kind of shit, and where's things going? Am I going to do more podcasts? And now I'm starting to think about, I really want to get this fucking Godcast thing off the ground. And I will. Let's put it this way. I will until it gets fucking stopped. This is the point I'm working towards with this is, do you fucking think I have it in me? Because the more and more I think about these things, I don't see what the fuck's standing in my way anymore. Because again, I don't want to really go into a whole lot about my relationship with Rachel, but part of the fucking problem with her was that I lost my fucking balls after over 3 years. I just kind of gave up after 3 years, and I didn't have the fucking tenacity anymore. And now that I'm starting to get out of that again, I'm starting to get back into, like, you know, fucking exercising and kind of fighting for fucking me again. You know, like, fucking me. That's what you're saying about this show, about what we do, these things. I do it for me, and I'm fucking proud of that. And it's very fucking rare that I can say that I could say that kind of shit fucking 2 years ago. And it has nothing to do with her. She's a fucking wonderful girl, and the best of her, and it has nothing to do with that. It has to do everything with me, is that I'm very fucking tenacious when it comes to stuff that I want, and then I get them, and then I just be fucking lazy, you know?
Something I know very, very, very well.
Yeah.
I'm less tenacious than you, but I'm very much complacent once I get it.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get why that's a part of me. I don't understand it, because it's something that I know is a problem, and it's something that I want to fix, but I don't know. It scares the crap out of me, because I wonder how the hell, if that's something I know that's in me, how the hell am I ever going to go on with a long-term relationship? And I know that you've found a way to make it work, obviously, but it scares the crap out of me, because I'm not with the wandering eye, but my problem when I was younger, as you very well know, was I could never fucking decide on anything. It was very indecisive about everything. And that's where for those who don't know, for a while, a fucking internet handle screen name thing before it was Mr. Balls, was Impulsive Boy. And the reason it was is because I felt I was very childish and impulsive. Because I would come up with an idea and then just fucking go after it for a week. And I got to do this fucking thing. This is so important to me. This is my life now. This is the greatest thing ever. And then, you know, fucking, it's why I switched from, on a fucking whim almost, switched from human-computer interaction after 3 fucking 4 years of being in school for that to go to school for economics and just saying, hey, I'm going to go to this other school. And then, hey, maybe I'll go to school in Chicago, or hey, maybe I'll go to school for writing or whatever. And then I just kind of finished it all out after I got there and I got what I wanted. I was in school. I finished my fucking degree. And then, you know, like, it's that idea of complacency. I got what I wanted. And I didn't know what to do with what I wanted anymore. And I kind of just said, fuck it, whatever. I'm not saying, like, I fucking sleep around on anybody, because I don't. But maybe that's the thing is I kind of settle for – I'm not saying I've settled for anybody in the past. I'm just saying that when it comes to – at least when it comes to projects, I settle on things and I say, this is fine. This is good enough, you know. And something that really struck me this week was I really like the idea – of something like that Godcast, because it's something that's going to be very hard to do. It's something that I really want to do, and it's something that is feasible. It's totally fucking feasible to do. It's no different. I mean, I shouldn't say it's no different than doing this with you, because obviously it's a lot more people, it's a lot more to organize, and I gotta fucking do a lot more prep work and things like that. But for the most part, it's not a whole lot different. It's a step forward instead of just fucking staying with what I have. Same thing with my writing. You know, I know that I could go on writing the way I am now for a while, but every day I kind of get this thing, like you're saying, you see somebody younger. For Christmas or New Year's, Justin came over. And by the way, if he's listening to this, I'm sorry, Justin. I said something that upset Justin, and we talked about it today, and I'm sorry I said it, Justin. There's your formal apology on the podcast. But Justin brought over – well, number one, he's awesome, by the way. And number two, he brought over a Hebrew version of Mouse from his trip to Israel, which was awesome. So awesome. And it's cool because I actually have a copy of Mouse, and I can sit there and look at the Hebrew version and the English version and go back and forth. And anyways, he brought over a book that a friend of ours had self-published. And he said, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so, Anthony, I can say his name, Anthony did this, and you should look at it. And I fucking took a look, and I was like, holy shit, and, you know, that's crazy. Anthony's the same age I am. He's published. I know that there's other guys that I went to even high school with that have published. Why am I fucking not doing anything? Like, why am I not doing anything with a book? Yep. You know, why am I not doing that? Yeah. And it's not that I'm jealous of them, because fucking right on. I'm so fucking happy. Like, I know, especially because I really like Anthony as a person. I'm so happy for him. But I look at this stuff and I go, why am I not doing this? Why am I, you know, is it too late for me? Should I be fucking giving up on this and going to do something else? I don't know. But the more and more I've been asking around this week, is the answer is no. Everybody keeps telling me, like, oh, this is the fucking perfect time to be doing this. You're recently single, and it makes – when I say that, it sounds like I'm widowed, you know? Like,
you're recently single. You have low or minimal expenses. It's the absolute perfect time to try all sorts of weird shit to figure out what the best thing to do is. Are you crazy? Of course it is.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so I guess. I don't know, man. It scares the crap out of me.
Oh, dude, I know. I'm like – I know. Because it's, for me, it's like every time I'm like, think about writing a comic script, or I think about writing an app or something, and if I don't ever do it, it can still be that the potential, like, oh, I could do it one day. If I do it and fail, I'm like, fuck. But I'm the last year or so, I've been like, it's time to do it and fail, or at least, and get off my ass and like shit and get off the pot type of thing.
Yeah.
Merlin Mann, one of the guys I follow, listeners might know who he is. He's formerly a productivity guru, but he's a really smart guy, and he's a really funny guy. And he has one of the funniest podcasts online called You Look Nice Today. Yeah. And it's hysterical. Go listen. These days he's very much about talking about creativity and how he's fed up with people making up like, oh, I can't do this, write this article until I get the right pen or until I get the right this or until I get all these 10 steps to increase productivity. It's just like, just shut the fuck up and do it.
Yeah.
Stop finding excuses, stop finding reasons not to do it, and just fucking do it. And I'm getting to that. I'm not at that point because I haven't done anything yet, but I feel like I'm getting to much closer. This is pure bullshit probably, but I'm getting more closer to the point where I'm it's time to get off the pot.
Okay. Maybe this might help in some way, because this is – hey, I'm trying here. I don't – like you said, I'm making this shit up as I go along.
Oh, is this going to be like James Hubbub get old worth keeping Jay sober?
No. I don't think anybody would fucking care about that. I mean, like I shouldn't say that. I have heard so much great stuff from anybody who listens. I don't want to say that anybody that listens to this wouldn't hold us to whatever our goals would be. But I'm saying that when it comes to your goals and stuff like that, the one thing that I've learned from working right now is there's always fucking tomorrow. And I don't mean that as – procrastination thing. I'm not saying like, oh, hey, just put it off until tomorrow. I'm saying that even just recently, I wanted to write a review for Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam. DLC fucking add-on thing that came out for Battlefield. I play Battlefield a lot. I fucking love that game. Something came out. I wanted to talk about it. It was a big deal for me. And I made it so big in my head, and I sat down and I played it, and I made notes, and I did things, and I wrote reviews, and I deleted them, and then I made it an audio review, and I deleted that. And I just kept deleting things over and over again. And it was so stupid, because I shouldn't have done that. And basically, I pushed this to the point of where now it's been out for a while now, and it's not going to run, and I'm not going to do it. But the thing is that I did all that shit, and then I sat down to do another review of I Love Milo, which went up like last week or the week before or whatever it was, because of all the times that I had rewritten and deleted and done all those things for Battlefield. I sat down and almost very quickly came up with a first draft for a review of something I'd never done before, of something very different that was out there for me and really not the same as my usual shit. Because usually when I write reviews, it's more of a buyer's guide, like, hey, you should buy this, it's worth the money, the value is good, you know, you'll probably have fun with it, whatever. But there's more to just fun. I mean, this is a medium, you know, the games have value. Games have value more than just a fucking dollar sign. There's more to it. It's a deeper thing. What does it mean? How does it feel? How does the game work? How does it work within itself? There's lots of questions I could answer, and I could answer any one of those and write a totally competent review besides saying, hey, is this game worth buying? Because there's a million other fucking sites that do that, and I don't want to be that person. I want to be me. I want to be different. I want to be fucking I want to be me. Yeah. I want to write as me. And I sat down, and I wouldn't have had the balls to do it, and I did do it, and it was only because I failed so many fucking times with the Battlefield thing that I was able to do that. There's always fucking tomorrow. You fail 60 times today, you'll probably get one thing right tomorrow, and that sounds so fucking depressing, and because it goddamn is.
Well, it's the whole 10,000 hour thing. Like, it's...
Yeah, it really is. It sounds so simple, but and it's not. But it is true. It's very true.
Everyone says that the failure is actually like the first step towards actually succeeding. If you don't ever fail, you're never going to actually do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And fail in public. I really...
that's tough for me.
I know. And it's fucking tough. You know it's tough for me too. That's why I'm saying that. I know we said at the beginning of this podcast, I have no idea how this podcast is going. This could be boring as shit to listen to. And I'm sorry if it is. But it's probably going to go up. Because I'd rather fail in public and have people come back to me and go, that episode is fucking shit. How dare you fucking talk about your fucking problems for a half an hour, 40 minutes, or whatever the hell is this going to be? You know, this is bullshit. You guys paused a lot, and you didn't know what to say, and you rambled on and whatever else. And I go, good, good fucking tell me more. Why am I a shitbag? Tell me, because in the future, I can fix that. I can stop that from happening. I can write better notes. I can do better things. This is the first time I've done something for in a while without a notepad. I can do different. I can do better. But until I put myself out there and get that feedback, I don't do better. And I know that you wouldn't do better either. And that's the thing, is that when I was writing back in high school and writing back in college, and you fucking know it because it was all the time. I used to send you pages all the time of, here's this page that I wrote. What do you think? Tell me. And I would sit there and wait and say, okay, he's going to email me back soon. He's going to say this page is great, and I'll start with page two. Like, that's not how you fucking write. You know? It's insane.
I remember those emails.
Yeah, I'm actually going, I go back and I look at them and I go, Jesus God, this is why I need to be writing now, because I'm finally starting to get confident with myself again, where I can say, hey, you know what, the only person's time I'm wasting is mine. And that's the fucking truth about it, is that even if it's a complete waste of fucking time, it's no different than anything else. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna, all right, I might as well say it, I talked about it last week, fucking, you masturbate, anybody does. You're literally jerking off. And if you're spending, I don't know, fucking a week a year jerking off. I'm trying to think like the time versus, yeah. That's high, isn't it? A week out of the year. But it maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days. I don't know. Whatever the average is, I don't know. But it's I would assume it no different than fucking sleeping and eating and shitting and jerking off. These things all fucking add up. It's all fucking time. You know, you could eat over the sink one night and save yourself some fucking time. All this productivity stuff is bullshit. I mean, obviously, you need to know it. I mean, you need to know some basic things. You need to know to get started. But I agree with you. I used to think there was some secret to this thing where there was some sort of productivity magic where I could say, hey, if I just knew the fucking secret, I could just go and do this and it would be over. I have so many books on writing. So I have a whole fucking shelf on my bookcase about books on writing. From all kinds of different authors, of every different fucking approach. I have writer's block. How do I do this? How do I not have writer's block? I don't have writer's block anymore, but what I think is my writing sucks. How do I write better? With whatever you're doing, you don't fucking suck. You're just new at it.
Yeah.
And how, even if you've been doing
it. Well, you do suck, but it's because you're new at it.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, but even if you're doing it for 9,000 out of the 10,000 hours or whatever it is to becoming a genius, you're still new at it, essentially. Yeah. I know that it seems ridiculous to say, and you might not suck by that point, but you're still new at it. It's still you can always learn. And that's maybe that's overcoming this idea of being bitter. I'm trying not to be bitter and say like, fucking, why does Mark Zuckerberg have fucking $1 million?
Don't.
I know, but that's the thing. Mark Zuckerberg is the fucking go-to. Everybody wants to punch that guy in the face because anybody, any fucking geek could have come up with an idea because everybody fucking did. We all had ideas like that, and we never fucking did anything about it. Same thing with Napster or any of these things where it's that one guy, the Sean Fanning and the Mark Zuckerberg, the one guy who fucking comes up with something and says, hey, I'm going to do this, and it fucking hits. And it goes big. And he has a very punchable face. And they do. I don't know what it is about success, but people who... it seems like young white guys that get successful just have very punchable faces. I don't know. And I'm not trying to dwell on that anymore. I'm trying to look forward. Yeah. But that's something. That's what I'm saying. It's not just fucking looking forward. It's fucking doing. That's what I was saying about the Godcast thing. Is that I'm going to do it, and anybody who's listening to this can hold me to that. There's your fucking chance, Silent Bob, get old fucking thing there. You can hold me to that. You can send me a message anytime you like and say, hey, how's things going with the fucking Godcast, and I'll give you a fucking status report, because I'm going to get that fucking shit done. With writing, same thing with any of this stuff. I gotta get it fucking done, and I'm hoping that, you know, I could hold myself accountable.
So, yeah, I'll do the Godcast, too.
I know you will.
I knew I would from the beginning.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, I knew from the very beginning. So is Michelle home now? Yeah. Are you podcast? Oh, you fucking popping your cherry with this one, Jesus! Oh my God!
I'm in the bedroom. She's in the living room watching TV and working. So,
okay. Well, all right. I think this is good. This is you know, the beginning of 2011 for us, and it's new and different, and a lot of shit's happening. Yeah. So, maybe this will be, I think we can wrap this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up on a positive note. I'm trying to, maybe that's, if that's the one thing I can bring out with this show, it's, I could say that we could try to be more positive, because that's the main feedback I got. Like, everyone was saying, like, the after school special, the life affirming, 5 years later episode of where I listen to it because you'll feel great about yourself, apparently. So, like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to make you feel great. We love you. We love you, and thank you for listening, and we want to make you feel great. So, thanks for listening for another week. This is Internet Boyfriends.
Take it easy.
Well, we got to say our little thing, don't we?
Oh, what's our little thing?
Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a sign-off, but you are, obviously.
I'm Ryan Kloss, a.k.a. Gobo on Twitter.
I'm Joey Heflick, at Mr. Balls on Twitter. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take it easy.